Revelation chapter 3. I thought somebody was going to say, I just want to thank the Lord. Pastor's sermons are getting shorter. I thought for sure somebody was going to say that. Do you realize we were done, finished, baptism over before 12 o'clock? Huh? Huh? It is he that worketh in pastor, both to will and to do of my good pleasure. Amen? No, I'm just trying to work on things a little bit. I know I can be kind of intense. Ryan, you dropped one of your shoes under the pew right there. Right there. It's one right there under the under the pew. See it? With the bow on it? So I'm just working on that. Hopefully, somebody said years ago, one preacher said, you'll never build a big church if you go over 40 minutes. So I don't know what that is. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Bible says, can you believe it? I've got thousands. I think I got almost 18,000, 22,000 words already, and we're at chapter 3. So I keep saying, Lord, if you'd speed this chapter 4 or 5 up so it can kind of happen. Could you imagine if I was right at chapter 4 reading that text verse? And then we were there. Anyways, all right, chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I guess the guy that opens them and shuts them and closes them and opens them can set before them an open door. He says, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Wow. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. It's interesting to me, people say, do you ever heard the term, I'm sure several in here have heard, pre-tribulation rapture? We're going to cover that in the back to the basics. Then you've heard mid-trib. Then you've heard post-trib. We have, for every doctrine in the Bible, I don't want to get off course, but I want to take these. This is me. I was mentioning this to Joe. I've mentioned it to Jacob not too long ago. Jacob says when he sees stuff now, he categorizes it. When I'm reading my Bible, because I came from a religious belief that was very far from the Bible, when I got saved, I didn't want to say I didn't believe in God. I just believed he wasn't the God that I wanted him to be. And a lot of times it was because how he was portrayed in doctrine. You know, when I sat in a church and in a Catholic church, I looked around, saw all the iconography, and I never saw Jesus in his glorified state. I saw Mary. When I saw Jesus, he was either a baby or he had long hippie hair and effeminate, and he's being brutalized on the cross. So you don't get to see that. Now, if somebody was preeminent, it was the guy in the robe up there. And so you start looking at all that stuff and it begins to formulate what you think about God. And then all of a sudden you get in the Bible and you get saved, rather, and you start studying the Bible and you start seeing things. Holy Spirit starts teaching things. And then all of a sudden it begins to, you need to file that stuff, because watch this, we ought to be ready always to give every man an answer. So how do you do that? So when you start reading the Bible, for me, and I'm trying to help for the Wednesday night crowd, you start categorizing things under, like for instance, we're in the book of Revelation. I've said this before. What category would that fall under in the study of theology? Eschatology, the study of what? The last things. And so I said all that to say this, when it's sitting there and he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And then you fast forward. Now, what is that hour of temptation? What we're talking about the church is you fast forward, and all of a sudden in chapter 4, we see that the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. You look at that trumpet, you see that trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4. So you begin to start seeing the doctrine of what? The pre-tribulation rapture, or the taking away of the church. Because then after that, in chapter 5, they open up the seals and the books, and all of a sudden everything takes place after that. So you, when you read, everything is connected. It's like a sweater, if you will, and you pull one thread on the sweater, what's it do? It unwinds the whole sweater. One thing. So when you're studying your Bible, when you're reading, look for things that occur. There's the trumpet. And you say, well, where's the example of that in Scripture? Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not. Now, many people will say, and I believe this to be true, that Noah and his family are a picture of the Jews during the tribulation period. They're sealed, they're safe, protected, even during that period of time. But even then, you see them going through. You see several examples, if you will, of the rapture of the church, if you will, in Scripture. And so I just thought I'd highlight that there. When we're reading Scripture, categorize it, put it somewhere, put it in your filing cabinet. I've seen that before. I have a Bible in my office that I used to use highlighters in certain colors for certain things. And so when I open up my Bible, and then they came out with the Bible that's highlighted in certain colors, and I'd know, okay, that yellow meant this, and that pink meant this, and that green meant this. And there's all their different kinds of study Bibles to help you find those things. Why? Because we're Bible believers. And what does that mean? We believe the Bible for all matters of faith and practice. Preacher, you keep saying that here lately. You know why? I want Peyton to, down the road, when she gets into a difficult situation. I grew up in a church that said we were Bible believers. I don't believe what I believe because my preacher believes it. I don't believe what I believe because my church states it. I believe what I believe because the Bible states it. Get into the habit of saying that. And then when you're out and about, just like these men, everything ties together for me in church. Let my light, what? What? Make a difference. That light, capital L, comes from where? 1 John chapter 1. John said, I'm not the light, he's the light that lighteth all the world. So that light we get, and then we tie that into Sunday school. See how all these things work together? Jacob's inviting people to Sunday school. We learn in Sunday school, the little kids, this little, I'm going to, and then we tie that into the work of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's the light God gives us. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. All we have to do is yield to it. So here he is writing to these churches. Connect those dots on your own. Put all those things together. Write them down. Take notes. I can't say it enough, because then when difficulties come, you'll be able to endure those difficulties because you know these things. How did the children of Israel, though Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, maintain what they knew? They didn't have the full canon of Scripture. They just had what they had. But what they had was sufficient enough for them to be confident in the face of Babylonian captivity and not give in. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight with what we have. Thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for everything you've ever needed us to know, ever wanted us to know. Everything to equip us in the world that we now live in and prepare for the next one to come. Speak to our hearts tonight, I plead. Thank you for the baptisms that we saw this morning. Thank you. We anticipate and look forward to what you're going to do in Noah and Peyton's life. in the life of those others. There's been a time they've been dedicated, I'm sure, and now there's been a time they've been saved, and now there's been a time they've been baptized. And Lord, if you continue to work in their lives and the people around them and the church that they go to, there's no telling what you have before them. I plead tonight that we understand that individually, collectively, as a whole. Speak to us, help us, draw us closer to you, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, here we are. Here we are. August of...
and,
huh? I want to believe that we're getting something out of it. I hope. I mean, it's not that I've just exclusively been here. I try and toss it around a little bit. Jacob preached last week. But, you know, I don't know if I'll go through the whole book. I don't know. It's not that I don't like the study of eschatology, but a lot of it I ain't going to be here. I don't know. I might just go up to chapter 5 and then switch to something else. I think you ought to preach the whole counsel of God. So I don't know. We'll see. I might probably skim it a little or broad brush it maybe a little more than I am. I mean, we're 2 years and some change into this thing, and I'm still only in chapter 3. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think, at this rate, let me just say this, at this rate, I will not finish the book of Revelation in my pastor tenure here. But we're here. We open up the next letter sent to the 6th of 7 churches. We are moving along. Please remember, as I stated this morning, about Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. The same is true of this one. And for me, maybe not you, it so increases my view of God and His sovereignty. It was enough looking back and remembering all the things stated concerning Him to open up this letter. Every time I open it up, I thought of the time that we spent just talking about Him. I mean, we spent how much on the person of the revelation and just looking at all the things about Him that put a stamp that John got to see on an island. And I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to see that same stuff, but can I say this? If you'll just get in that book, if I'll just get in that book, it's amazing the things that we can find. That's Him. When I get the most discouraged in my walk, if I can say this, does anybody want to take a guess where I run to in the Scriptures? Anybody want to take a guess? No, I don't. Huh? Where? Not the pastoral epistles. I thought it's been pretty evident if you look at my messages and where they fall in the season I've been here, the Gospels. And you know why I preach, why I go to the Gospels? Because I get to see, and I know His hand is working in all of it, but I get to see God in His revelation to man, the very image of God, what He does when He goes to that well. What He does when He goes to that woman with the issue of blood. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, if He can do that for them here, He can do that for me. I just got to see Him in the pages of His book. And so the same is true of this letter that it was of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. For me, maybe not you, it so increases my view of God and His sovereignty that He would write a book, He'd explain what He explains, and it'd be a help for how many years, how many ages. We go all the way back to Abraham, 4,000 years ago. We go back to, I'm a young earth believer, if you understand what that means. I believe God created the heaven and the earth in a literal 6 days. And on the seventh day, rested. And that goes hand in hand with Peter, when Peter says, a day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years is a day, and we have the plan of God, and it unfolds. And we are a young earth, no matter what they tell you at the public school, or whatever Kent Hovind says now that he's, you know, been out of jail and everything else and lost his mind. We are a young earth, and we are 6,000 years of age, and we are 2,000 years from the cross. And there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period that we're taken out of before then. There's going to be 3.5 good years. We know that in Revelation. There's going to be 3.5 bad years. There's Daniel's 40 whatever weeks, if I figure that out. And it all ties in. And guess what? And then at the end of that, it's eternity. There's a 1,000-year millennial reign. And He's going to show us theologically how He wanted to do it. And what do I mean by that? Because he wants to place a theocracy in place, not a monarchy, not an oligarchy. He wants to show how this thing was supposed to be, and he's going to be the one that rules and reigns, and we're going to be his servants. And so when you start looking at that and you start getting the whole, what is it called, systematic theology, how God unfolds his plan from Genesis to Revelation. When you get a general over, is anybody besides me, when you start studying the Bible, you'd read 1 and 2 Samuel, then you'd read 1 and 2 Kings, and then you'd read 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you'd go, man, that happened before. Did anybody besides me think they were separate things at separate times? Okay, me and Joe. All right, everybody else didn't think that. And then I started realizing 1 and 2 Samuel was the prophet Samuel telling of what happened during those years. 1 and 2 Chronicles, or Kings, was telling us who the kings were during those years, what they did, who ruled and reigned, and the prophets that were around him. And then Chronicles were just chronicling what? Those times of the same time period. And I don't know, the more you read your Bible, the more you figure it out. And listen, so what's the plan? Read the Bible. We have the greatest book written by the greatest author that what? Can give us the greatest teach. He can teach us things better than anybody else can. And then if you allow him to do that, guess what will take place? It'll keep you from being fooled. And I said all that to say this. This is a record where we're at now of the church age. Acts chapter 9, Jesus, standing ovation? No. Jesus as judge of the universe stands up and indicts the nation of Israel, and now they have what? A veil that they're not able to see the things they're supposed to see because why? He came unto his own received him not. And all of a sudden, God now takes Paul and he gives him the Macedonia call, and from Acts chapter 9 forward, you see the attention on Gentiles and the church. And we see the church age and we go all the way through. And in that age, we have it from the time of his death to the time what? Of his return. And in that are seven divisions of seven churches. There was much more than seven churches. But because this is the sovereignty of God. Can you imagine trying to figure that out? I was telling the men in the room just a minute ago, it's hard for me to operate with, I kept saying 13 this morning, 12, I don't know how many grandkids I got. I don't know how old I am some days. And you start thinking of your own little life and all the things you got to organize and then broaden that out to 8 billion people. And God, his ear, Isaiah said, was what? Not heavy? That it cannot hear? That means he can. I can't hear all my... This is what Mama does the other day. I was trying to talk to her and she wouldn't answer me. All the kids were running around. I said, hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I had my hearing aids turned down. I said, well, I wish all of us could do that. I wish all of us could just sit in a room of chaos and just... God's ear is not heavy, Isaiah said, that it cannot hear, nor his hand shortened that it cannot save. If everybody... At the same time that was a child of God, talked to God, guess what? The sovereign God of the universe can do. He can hear them all at the same time. I'm going to tell you what. That, and then, well, you know, I just don't have nothing to do with God right now because he wasn't there for me when I needed him. Is that right? Did you fill out all the qualifications for him? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear me. There's so many things when you start thinking of Bible scripture ought to flow from your tongue for every situation. It ought to bounce around in your mind for every situation that we encounter. Preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to solidify Wednesday night who we are. We are Bible believers. And we believe the Bible for all matters of faith and practice. And one of those is how we conduct ourselves in church and what we're going to encounter in church and what we got to be careful of in church. And God said, you know, I care so much about you, I'm going to write a letter how long ago that still applies to you today in your situation. That's a God that cares. And so... maybe not for you, but for me, it so increases my view of God and His sovereignty. And I'm sure it helped John too. It was enough looking back and remembering all the things stated concerning him to open his letter, or this letter, but even more so in this time to know all that God did with this, like He did for all the other writings. The older I get and the more I stay as a student of the Word of God, it increases my faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. You will never go wrong in your faith Even if, it's just difficult for me to read my Bible. Can I suggest something? If you have at least a 20-minute ride to work, and with all the Bluetooth stuff and the CarPlay and everything else, set your phone to a Bible reading program, plug it in, Bluetooth it, whatever, set it for a chapter of Scripture. I've not only read through my Bible several times, I've listened through my Bible. You know why I started to listen to my Bible? Because the Bible says of itself, faith cometh by... What if I had no eyesight? What if I didn't have hearing but I have eyesight? And then there's even the touch where there's Braille Bibles. Faith cometh by hearing, so I've listened to the Bible. Got a 20-minute drive to work. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take 20 minutes. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. I'm not going to listen to Fox News. I'm not going to listen to Sirius Radio. I'm not going to listen to all this other stuff. I'm just going to listen to the Word of God. My pastor said, the Bible teaches, Romans 10, 7, 17, whatever it is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith will be increased just by listening to it. So nobody has an excuse. Well, I wasn't as sound in the faith as I could have been or should have been. No, it's your own fault. You're as close to God and His Word as you want to be tonight. Those are all free. The older I get and the more I stay as a student of the Word of God, it increases my faith for whatever situation in my life I may be in. And maybe I'm saying it just to young people because overwhelmingly all those decision cards, Miss Alicia, said, I want to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. Well, put the prayer request into action and read your Bible. Well, Pastor makes it sound like there's going to be pixie dust that falls from the sky. I don't know how it happens. I just know when I stay in my Bible, it changes things for me. It changes things for me. His Word will work for me and give me my guidance, just as it did for them then. I've not focused in the explanation or even interpretation so much for each of these letters. I've spent most of my time in application. We do know they may not have then. We know today, they might not have known then, but we are assured today that these seven letters speak historically of what they were going through at the time, but they as well, this is God in His sovereignty. But they as well speak spiritually and realistically of the church age. Now, can you imagine this? If you just wrote a note, I wrote a note to my three children, and that note was specifically for those three children. Historically, chronologically, everything, it just all fits into that. Wow, Dad wrote us this letter for this time. But then they kept it around the house, and all of a sudden their 12 kids collectively pick that letter up and they start reading it. And they say, wow, how did my papa know this, that I would be going through this and I would encounter this? This is just what I need to hear for today, but he wrote it back then for them. And we'd sit there and go, wow, man, papa really knew what he was talking about, didn't he? That's the sovereign God we serve. Understand that. I can't say that. Maybe I'm just hung up on it for me. Understand that every time you open up the Bible, Noah. When you're wondering what the will of God is for your life, just open it up. Just open it up and read, because you'll find many times that what the will of God was for one can so closely relate to the will of God for you. And time can not even matter. It just works. You ever just sat around and talked to somebody in Christianity sometimes and said, wow. Isn't it amazing that what Rodney Pruitt went through in his life, that God would just coincidentally orchestrate it, that Rodney was there to witness to me in almost an identical path? Why? Because that's the sovereign God we have. So when you open it up, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Maybe I can't get off of this for the young people. God has a will for my life tomorrow. Something will transpire in my life that affects the will of God for my life and maybe somebody else's. And I have to be in my Bible to make sure that I find that out. There was people, I often wonder because of church attendance, and I'm not babbling, I'm getting somewhere. I wonder something, but this is just the mind I have. This is how I think about things. I wonder if there was the assembly of the believers then and they wrote these letters and they got ready to read them. I don't believe they conducted church the same way as we conduct church. I don't believe every time they got together, all right, turn to Philippians chapter 2. They probably read that once. Maybe somebody else came to the church. Paul gave this to us. They conducted business based upon other letters that they may have had that were circulated to other churches. But they just came in there. And you know what a lot of their guidance was? The Holy Spirit. And guess what? When you don't have written instructions, you better go by the ones that the gut feeling instructions. I don't think we understand that enough. Pastor, why did you teach a series on the fruit of the Spirit? Because love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. You start operating in those things, or Peter's letter that he might have shared with somebody, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance. You start doing those simple things. I've said this before to the people in here. We might not ever get through Revelations. Watch this. You want to be a better Christian this week? Wake up tomorrow and start with Romans. Just read Romans to Jude and do it on a cyclical basis. Just continue to keep reading. Well, what about the other stuff? Well, throw in a Proverbs. Read a proverb every day. How many months? How many? Does August have 31? August has 31, doesn't it? September's 30? October, of course, has 31. Well, what do I do if I have 31 Proverbs and I'm in September? Just read the last two together. And guess what that'll... So pastor's saying, and here's the tithe challenge that I said before. Start tithing. At the end of the year, if God doesn't bless you because of the obedience to tithe, I'll give you back out of my own pocket what you put in. Here's what I'm challenging you with tonight while we're in the Word of God and we're to increase our faith. Start reading it just like I said. Read a psalm a day, read a Proverbs a day, and read from Romans to Jude on a cyclical basis. And then come in here and tell me God ain't doing anything in your life. I'm not saying just don't read it. Actually, listen to it and say, well, it says do this here. Let me do this here. Let me see what I can get. The Bible is a book of principles and promises. You follow the principles, you get the promises. You don't follow the principles, you don't get the promises. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Those are three principles. Put them all together and guess what you do? He shall direct thy path. Shall, not my... You know what? I don't know if I'm going to do that. I know you did those two, three things. I think I tried to teach one of my kids one time lying. They came to me and asked me something. I said, yep. Sure will, yeah, we can do that. Later on, they came back around. They said, all right, you ready to do that? I said, no, but you said so. And I said, no, I lied. And the impact of that made it more understandable. God is not a liar as other men are liars. Open up your Bible, follow the principles, and see what will happen from it. That was all free. I have not focused in the explanation or even interpretation so much for each of these letters. We do know they may not have then, but we are assured today that these seven letters speak historically of what they were going through at the time, but they as well speak spiritually and realistically of what is called the church age. We are in the age of the church. The church is what God's got His attention on right now. He said to Peter, He said, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, some say thou, you're Elias. Some say you're John the Baptist, reincarnate. Jesus said to him, Peter, been with you for this length of time. Who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we have the conception, the beginning of the church, and it's empowered at Pentecost, and we have the church age, and we're all the way up to the end of it. One more letter, and the church age begins to close. Did not Peter say, or Timothy, or Paul say to Timothy, that the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine? Some of the reason I'm doing this now is because if the Bible says there's a time coming that they'll not endure sound doctrine, then guess what we ought to be teaching in the church? Sound doctrine. Because we'll get to see who will endure it and who won't endure it. And who's going to get raptured, who's going to be helped in these last days, and who's not going to trim their lamps with oil. And so, each church representing a picture spiritually and realistically the church would be in. That's the church age. All seven of these churches, there was more than just these seven. From Ephesus leaving the first love, all the way to the seventh church, Laodicea, carrying on business as usual, while Christ stands without of the church door, knocking and asking to be let in. I'm sure I think my grandmother had a picture in her home with long-haired Jesus standing there in a robe, knocking at a door that was a stone door and vines had all grown over it. And you look down and he's lifting up his hand. There's no doorknob on it. Why? Because the person on the other side needs to open it. Jesus doesn't open it. Jesus does not impose His will upon you. We can choose. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. He said, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. You have a choice. And guess what at the invitation? We're getting all these back to basic things. Guess what at the invitation? You get a choice. Preacher preached on this. Here's your choice. Come, talk to God. See what He has for you. Ask Him this morning. I hope there was people at the altar saying, God, would you please show me, reveal to me, guide me in your will for my life so I don't make a mess of it. And so from Ephesus, leaving the first love, to Laodicea, carrying on business as usual. They said they had what? Need of nothing. Each represents a period of time quickly for review and for a reminder to set the temperature for our next church. Ephesus, the departed church. The period of time, and I haven't done this, but I want to do this to give you just an idea. And this is not to the T. I'm not talking about at year 70 AD, at the 1st of September. It's just a general consensus now that we're looking back at the church age. If you've, and you should study church history. You should study church, the churchology, ecclesiology. That's the word I'm looking for. What's ecclesiology, Brother Mike? The study of the church. It is a biblical teaching. Ecclesia, called out body of believers. So the church at Ephesus was the departed church, we called it. The period of time in church history, approximately AD 70 to AD 170. These are not dates in stone, but each of these overlap each other as the church goes through, could I use this term, seasons. Doesn't church have seasons? Yeah. We had visitors today from when they were going to church at ABT. 10,000. I got a book in my office. 10,000 membership. What in the world? Where's that anymore? How about this one? The church has always been here. How about, who's the guy you took me to watch the movie, Tina? Me and you? Giglio, Lou Giglio, whatever his name. What is it? Huh? Zamperini. Where did I get that from? Zamperini. You read his book. He has a picture of the five-pole tent downtown Los Angeles. Does anybody remember as a little child sitting there? And our broadcasting for tonight will be interrupted with the Billy Graham crusade. And I'd sit there and pitch a fit because I didn't grow up in a crusade. What was that? I don't want to sit here and listen to that. Listen to him point his bony finger. Did you see the stadiums? Now's who's filling the stadiums? Benny Hinn throwing his coat at somebody. What are you trying to say? Churches go through seasons. AD 70 to AD 170. They overlap each other. And if you view church history through a critical and spiritual eye, you will agree as well that the church has changed. And there's going to be a time where some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, what? To seducing spirits. Then we had the church at Smyrna. We called that the discouraged church. This is the period of time in church history, approximately from 170 AD to 312 AD. Again, a close scrutiny and comparison to Scripture, you see the specific inference to Smyrna and the general reference to all churches. You go back and just study church history and study it out, and you'll see these things that take place, and they're reminiscent of a church period in time. Here's the third church, Pergamos. We call that the deceived church. So we've taken a church, and watch this, how this develops. We've taken a church that 70 years after the death, AD, of our Lord and Savior, This church has left its first love. And we're thinking, what in the world? 70 years later, that our church is 100 years of age. A church that was on fire for the Lord. Why were they on fire for the Lord? Because they saw the risen Savior. There was people in those services in those days that saw the risen Savior. There was people that not only saw the risen Savior, they heard the testimony of James, they heard the testimony of the apostles. Not only that, they saw 500 people resurrected from the grave. Where'd those folks go? And all of a sudden, these were not fables just made up by people. They saw this. They believed this. I was there. Peter said, I was an eyewitness to his glory. But he said this also. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Bible is more reliable than my eyesight and my ears. And all of a sudden, after 70 years, you know what took place? I'll tell you what takes place. It takes place. The same thing that took place in Ephesus takes place in here. You get a few weeks, few years, few months away from your salvation when God flipped your story upside down and all of a sudden you saw Him and He loved you and He cared for you and He redeemed you and He saved you and you got on fire for church and all of a sudden you came into church and you might not have went to the church at Ephesus. You went to the church at Smyrna, which was... Or you went to the other church that was deceptive. Or you went to the other church that was deceitful, or you went to the other church that had a name that they lived. Man, I'll tell you what, a church alive is worth the drive. And then you get in there and, oh, how I love Jesus. And all of a sudden, that love that you had soon dwindles out. Don't tell me that these churches then are not representative of churches today. Just the mere fact that Miss Lindsay said, yeah, they were so surprised. Can I just say, visit churches, please. Visit churches. Well, you want me here in assembly? No, visit. Maybe if you'll visit and you'll see what else is out there, you'll come back and appreciate the one you got. And it isn't because I'm here. It's because the Word of God is elevated, illuminated, and it's there so a transformation. Can I tell you, I can take you to churches that don't even have an altar call. If they have an altar call, people don't even come to the altar. And then pretty soon the preacher gets discouraged at Smyrna. And he says, you know, I don't even know why I give an altar call anymore. Nobody's going to come. And then all of a sudden he says, well, you know, I spent a lot of time studying. This is the church age. I spent a lot of time studying. And then we come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And nobody shows up. I'm going to tell you what, too many people in church get hung up on what they're doing to destroy the church. And as I said this morning, the energy that God is using to keep us in His will, we're using the same equal energy to get us out of His will. And then there's some in church that are doing everything they can to energize. I'll tell you, oh, I almost said it. Oh, Lord. You almost had me say that word clicks. Talking about cliques and then create cliques and you're pushing people out instead of bringing people in. I'm going to tell you what, as long as I'm here, there ain't going to be no cliques here. Cliques divide. Churches don't divide. But there's cliques here. The church age. All of them are intertwined in here. We have people in Ephesus here. We have people in Smyrna here. We have people in Thyatira here. We have people in Pergamos here. Just depends on what part of the letter you want to listen to, because he that hath a what? Ear to hear. Pergamos is the deceived church. Period of time, 312 to 606 AD. I keep reiterating, how could that be? Because God cared for all during the church age, not just the church at Pergamos. He knew what was coming and what could or would be so. He wrote to help us in it. You mean to tell me that what he wrote to Pergamos could help me? Sure it is. Read those things. Tell me that there's not a spirit of Jezebel today. I'm not talking about this church. I'm just talking about in general. I have never in my entire life, ladies, allow me to say this, and really I don't care. There is such a spirit of Jezebel in the modern day woman today, it is nauseating. And Isaiah warned us about it. He said, there will come a time when women will be their oppressors and children will rule over them. And tell me that ain't happening today. And a God that knew that that would take place, He warns us about it. He warns that church specifically, historically, but He warns us in letters that we can read later on that men canonized Men were inspired to write. The pen of God wrote these things to transform us so we don't have to be that way. But that's a God that really cares, isn't it? Then we have the church at Thyatira, the defiled church. This period of time in church history, approximately from AD 606 to AD 1520, and it's one of the longer ones, it is a time where the world saw Jezebel and her worship come to preeminence or prominence. Again, although God has had His bride, let me say this and hear me clear. Although God has had His bride, many of God's children were in churches that doctrinally had the issues described by God in these letters. Let me explain a little better. I do not believe, this is me and the Bible doesn't teach this, I do not believe the only ones that are saved are Baptist. I want you to hear me and hear me well. I met a husband and wife, their family, very near and dear to me. They were saved in an Enkele Kerk. That's a Dutch Reformed church. That's an Andrew Murray, second blessing, all the sinless perfection, all the mess that comes with it. They were saved during a revival service in that church, stayed in that church, but read their Bible and soon got out of it. Why? Because they saw the things. Remember it says, don't let your robes get what? Defiled. They sit in those churches. I believe there's people that have been saved in Catholic churches. Mark, I said to you when I went to a funeral in a Greek, Orthodox Greek church, there was nothing in that service that was unscriptural. Mark, you were there, right? They literally sung the King James Bible. Everything I saw on the walls in iconography were what? Gospel. The problem was they got caught up in the idols and forgot what they were representative of. And so we have the defiled church, Jezebel and her worship. I do not believe that the only ones who are saved are Baptists. Many will joke about Baptists saying they think they're the only ones here. Boy, they got a big surprise when they get there. I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe the Baptists are the only ones saved, but if I'm going to fly, I'm going to fly first class. When someone mentions a church that was formed in the Reformation, and 1517 was the beginning of at least the German Reformation, when someone mentions a church that was formed in the Reformation, they came out partially, but still didn't come out wholly. Luther might have nailed his 95 thesis to the door at the church at Wittenberg, Germany, but he didn't come out completely. He just came out from some things he disagreed with because he had an opportunity to read his Bible. And then we have the Scottish Reformation. We have all these other reformations and the Anglican Church and the Greek Orthodox Church. And all of them were trying to spin a trail for a racial group or a nationality to be the ones that holds the keys to the kingdom. No, God said it's a whosoever will gospel. It's a whosoever will. Look in here, the backgrounds from people in here. That's the gospel. Whosoever will, let him come. And so we see Thyatira was a picture, if you will, of the Jezebel Mary and her worship. You know, I've been in jails where they pass out literature where she's the fourth part of the Trinity. How does that work? You pray to Mary, Mary prays to Jesus, and then that's how things work out. I'm going to tell you what, I've seen some of the most poisonous, defiling doctrines in the world. But you know what? There's people that believe them. And can I say this too? They sincerely believe them. I mean, I'm not just saying, and they're not trying to hook and crook anybody. They just believe it. Why? Because somebody sold them on it. Whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them that would believe. Thyatira. Which leads us next to Sardis, the dying church. You think we have any of those today? I can't say it enough. Somebody from the past, somebody from that's been here for years ought to stand up once in a while and say, you know, I've been here X amount of years, been here decades. I just want to thank the Lord that in those decades that I've been here, this church has stayed doctrinally true. It's doctrinally true. Brother Miller, I'm not asking you to do it. You have a doctrinally true church that you can sit on the pew with three generations of your family. And you're young enough that this guy here I don't know if, is that why that young lady comes? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it, cut that. If so, I told Libby the other day, the chances of me, maybe not her, the chance of me seeing, who's the oldest one, Avalyn? We put 10 years on Avalyn, that puts her at 20. The chances of me seeing her married at 20 and grandkids by any time, I'm gone. I'm done. But here's the thing about it. The generational. You know what that is? That means it's not dying. We baptized two young people today. Two more young people want to come forward. You know what that means? That's not just living by the name. That's living by the actions that take place within the church. But I can take you to places with the baptismal pools of flower pot. The dying church. Period of time in church history. Approximately AD 1520 to AD 1750. With each of these, we could stop and discuss. Preacher, you're heavy on the introduction. No, I just want to reiterate some things I think we need to know. With each of these, we could stop and discuss the dilemma, historically the dilemma, the explanation, the interpretation of what's taking place, transpiring across the world with the church. Just as there were political, racial, and financial things transpiring that we see in history, there was also a spiritual move taking place by God to fulfill His plan for the ages. You've heard the term Great Awakening, right? That was when the people of God awoke. George Whitefield could preach, and you could hear him history tells us, 6 blocks away you could hear George Whitefield preaching. Could you imagine that? Could you see me? I'm loud. I can't see my voice carrying 6 blocks. They said he would preach till his throat bled. Where's that today? You see what they do with street preachers today? Mock and ridicule them. Why? We have need of nothing. We're not sinners. There was also a spiritual move taking place by God to fulfill His plan for the ages. Isaiah said it like this. Isaiah 46 and verse 8, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old," He said, "for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." Verse 10, declaring, Isaiah wrote this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." We have the end. Do you know what? If you really wanted to, I don't challenge you to do this. You could start reading your Bible from Revelation 22. And you can go backwards. You know why? Because Isaiah said he knows the end. He's declared unto us the end to the beginning. You want to stay out of trouble this week? You want to keep yourself in the will of God? I told the preachers, the Timothy guys, some of the preachers, I said this to them the other day. You know what my best lesson was as a young preacher that had nobody to mentor me? Watching everybody else's mistakes. You want to stay out of a lot of trouble, young people? Find the mistakes of people in the Bible and say, "I ain't going to do that." Which leads us to Philadelphia, the devoted church. This is a period of time in church history, approximately 1750 AD to the 1900s. I want to say again, the characteristics or traits of all these church periods continue on in each church until the end. All of them are intermingling. Any church today can be any one of these churches or have any one of the characteristics or traits mentioned in these churches. For instance, and I've said it already, in this church today, tonight, we can have people that have left their first love. And they have. There's people in here tonight, if you'd listen, not to the preacher, but to the preacher, capital P. He's told you over and over again, you've left the first love. He's beckoned you before you go to work some days and you just rush out without ever gripping. There was a time you woke up and you wanted to read your Bible. There was a time before you went to bed you wanted to read your Bible. There was a time you looked in your Bible and as a newborn babe you desired the sincere milk of the Word that you'd grow. I want to be like so-and-so in church. I want to be more like Christ. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? It's just a thing of the past. Can I say tonight, in here, we have those. You try and hide it. You try and fashion it away. You try and work your way around. Well, if I'm busy doing this and I'm busy doing... No, that's the difference. Here, I said before, when you find something in the Bible, find a display of it in the Bible. Here's the display. You got Martha and you got Mary. Oh, our churches are full of Marthas. They just think in order to get close to God, you just got to work. And then you sit around and you complain and bicker and bark about everybody else and you say, why ain't Mary helping? And Jesus responds and he gives us the answer. Why, Martha, Martha. Shame, shame, shame. Now, if you got close to him, you'd stop that. You mean stop working? How's things going to happen at the church? It's his church. He'll figure it out, Michael. You don't have to be there for everything. You don't have to do everything. He'll figure it out. It's his church. He'll build it. Except the Lord build the house. They that labor, labor in vain. Mom and dad, same with kids. And all of a sudden Jesus says, she's chosen what's best. She's just worshiping me. Well, somebody's going to say something to me. I'm going to tell you what, nobody's going to say anything to you if we just watch you get close to God. Rekindle that love again. Because you know what's going to happen afterwards? You're not going to sit still very long once that love kicks in. Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. I'm going to feed my sheep. 40 days later, he's preaching at Pentecost. So these things are synonymous with us today. There's the church at Ephesus left their first love. We have those today. I see it and you see it. Or those like Smyrna who are or have become discouraged in the battle. Or those at other churches who have been deceived. There's people in this church that'll scare you some of the things that they believe. There's people we've had come through this church, been members of this church, it'd scare you what they believe. And then the pastor stands up from the pulpit, points out what they believe, doesn't even really call their names, but you kind of feel like I'm insinuating it. Then all you get you do is you get your little knickers in a wad and say, why would pastor say that? Because he's feeding the flock of God which is among you, taking the constraint. Not by constraint, but by willingness. Not for filthy lucre's sake. Why? Because I believe, listen, you can be molested as a child. I was. I'm still here. But you be molested spiritually, and you're damned and you're a twofold child of the devil, eternally. Which one's more important? They're both important, don't get me wrong. But to protect somebody from spiritual molestation, can I say it that way? Is of imperativeness for a person that fills a pulpit. That's why you're supposed to know your Bible. Because when there's not somebody there doing that, somebody else ought to be doing that. Somebody else ought to be sitting in a Sunday school class. Somebody else ought to be sitting there saying, well, they're teaching angels have sex with people. What in the world? And then we think the best about the worst and then the worst about the best. Pastor, man, you sound like you got an axe to grind with somebody. No, I just love the church. I want to make sure it goes another 100 years. I don't want it on my record. Yeah, you see that? You see number 14? That's when, let's be honest. Miss Terry, can I put you on the spot? When did ABT fall in the ditch? When did ABT fall in the ditch? Yeah, grandson. Grandson. And he brought all the other stuff in. Dallas Jr. brought it all in. And you ask anybody around. I'll tell you one even better than that. Go ask a Jew when Er, the lamp of God, went out. Oh, that was Eli. So don't ever get upset when a pastor stands there and cries aloud and spares not, lifts up his voice like a trumpet, shows their people their sin. Because watch this. We're to take the men, gentlemen, singing. We're supposed to protect the what? Purity of the church. And we're also supposed to protect the purity of it, or the perpetuity of it. It's got to keep going past us. It can't. Do you know how many churches do not have a pastor tonight? Because a pastor who pastored a church for 30, 40, 50 years didn't take the simple plan in Titus. I left thee in Crete, what? To set forth things that were in order. Not only that, I want you to ordain elders in every city. Not only that, I want you to hold fast the word of faith as you have been taught. That pastor doesn't do that, the doors close. They're all over in Ohio. And I say this to the young men in here today. I'm not calling anybody to preach. But God's still calling people to preach. Why aren't more people surrendering to it? I'm done. Tonight we look at the letter to the church at Philadelphia, and as always, the same criterion, the first is the prelude of the letter. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. That is the Philadelphia church age, when churches were at maximum capacity. The truth was there, everything, open doors, mission fields. There was mission fields that were one time open because God opened them up. I wonder if he's closed them now because he knows nobody's going. China's closed. How many mission fields? Is anybody, Joe, in your missionary endeavors and all these people you're around, has anybody ever stood up in a service or a missions conference and said, out of 227 known nations, countries, how many is there? How many of those you can't get into? God says, I'm the one that has set before you an open door. If I open it, no man can close it. If I close it, no man can open it. And I wonder sometimes when he sees the state of the church, he says, well, we might as well close that section. You know, it's kind of like here. Can I just say that? I came here. There were sections of this church that were closed off, not for use. You know why, basically? We just didn't have anybody to be in it. We'll do a Wednesday night prayer. Mark, I'll never forget when you said to me, Pastor, we need to move upstairs. People need to know we're here. Where were we meeting? And I'll challenge you. You weren't here on Wednesday night. We were down in a little basement room downstairs. Six people tonight. First Wednesday service when I came here. Six people downstairs. I went down there and I said to Libby, now we added five. That made it, we doubled in size, man, as soon as the pastor came here. Whew, man, the touch of God. And I went walking around to see what else was taking place. And I said, you know, there was a lot. I said to myself, I didn't say to anybody else, a lot of Martha's going on. There was a time there was more people in Awana than there was in the house of God right up here. And then they'd get done there, hear the whistle blow. They're out there. They're headed out the door. They're gone. When summer breaks over, guess what took place? Ain't coming to Wednesday night church anyways. Put them off in what was the little place called downstairs? What was the name of Puddles? Is it Puddles? Puggles? Puggles. Show me that in the Bible. Puggles in the nursery. You work your way all the way up to Skillet. Hello? Does anybody remember those days? Skillet. Howard Crothers says to Cody, Josh, and Christina, so how'd you like our teen group? You know back there, black ceilings. Listening to Skillet videos. Anybody know who Skillet is? Yeah, that's what the teens were doing when I got here. Hello. Hello, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Ladies, you're welcome. You're welcome. Skillet. Howard Crothers said, well, how'd you like the teen? Cody, cut from the old block. Well, he basically said, yeah, they were just listening to Skillet. This is what they were doing. That's not how we were raised. We've come a long way, haven't we? You got to protect that. That's not Pastor Lovett's responsibility. That's your, well, what's so wrong with that? If you're in here tonight and you're saying, what's so wrong with Skillet? You are crippled too high for crutches, man. They have a form of godliness. Well, I know all the other stuff is that, but I was just listening to the words. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things be of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Man, I get around a pool table and I think I'm in a juke joint. I can't imagine how I'd feel. But what's attracting people today? All of that. You said, preacher, why'd you say all that? Because you got to understand the heritage that you have here. B.R. Lakin preached 2-week revivals in this church. Dallas Billington Sr. preached revival. Look up B.R. Lakin. You young people, YouTubers, go look up B.R. Lakin and sit down and listen to about 5 messages. Go listen to Dallas Billington and then wonder. I think that it reminded, didn't you say one of them said it reminded him of ABT, the church or whatever, kind of? Or something like that. Somebody did. Mama, didn't you talk to him and say something like that? Thank goodness. Thank goodness. You know why? The similarities ought to sound. The prophets are subject unto the prophets. It's humbling to hear. I couldn't even imagine. I'm nobody. But if we were to fast forward into time machine from B.R. Lakin to Doofus, I still have to say the same thing as he has. Perpetuity, purity. Philadelphia church had an open door. Where's the open doors anymore? They're closing them more than they're opening them. Next time we pick up, we'll look at the four characteristics of the prelude. Jesus said he's holy, he's true, he has the keys of David, and here's another thing. He says, I can open a door and I can shut a door. I can shut a door and I can open it. And here's a church that needed to get the gospel to the rest of the world. And we sit in church and watch this. And I'm not shooting at anybody when I say this. Come to a Saturday visitation. And God's given us an open door. We live in a country you can still take the gospel to a door. We live in a country that you can hand a gospel tract to somebody. We have that. But you know what's taking place? We've gotten comfortable in Laodicea. We don't really need nothing. Look what we got. Everything's good. The only difference was business was as usual, but God wasn't nowhere to be found. I can take you to churches that's business as usual. God's nowhere to be found. I'll even say it. I don't care. That Arise conference, you ever hear that? Arise? That is birthed out of the church that I graduated Bible college from. And all they have is Avenger characteristics and everything else. And it's nothing but the world. Nothing but the world. And then after it's over, and how many, they just had a pedophile there last year, and they've got another pedophile this year that didn't do anything about the pedophiles that are coming to those things. And that's who we're turning our children loose to. And who's the one that's going to stand up and say anything about it? Man, Pastor, you somebody spit in your cornflakes today. No, I'm going to tell you what really got me fired up. I was young once, but now I'm old. Do you know how many Noahs I've seen? I could sit here and tell you stories of young people and the little shiny objects and the people that don't help and the people that won't stand for something. I could list out the people that used to come to this church as little kids and show you where they're at today. Shipwrecked. Why? Because somebody didn't think it was very important. Our children are not guaranteed nothing. We have to increase the odds and protect the environment for them. No different than what's the chances of Lizzie's survival where she was at? Now we've increased the odds of that survival by being in a Christian home. And so what inspires me? Noah inspires me. Peyton, you didn't see it. Tears in her eyes. It was special to her. I don't know what was special about it. I don't know if it was grandma and grandpa watching. I don't know if it was dad watching. I don't know if it was mama back there watching. I don't know what it was, Peyton. But you have my word as long as I'm here. I will fight hell with a water pistol to make sure there's purity in this church. And I will put the prospective young man that thinks he's going to take your hand in marriage through my stinking machine before he ever thinks it's going to happen. Amen, Todd? Amen? Why? We want them to succeed. I don't need nothing said to me in heaven. I just want to be able to see it. And I want to say I had a part there. It was worth it. The suffering is worth it if we can see the glory that will soon be. Listen to what's said in these churches. Listen to the warnings that are in these churches and stay away from them. Listen to the promises that are in these churches and say, I want those. The Church of Philadelphia had an open door. We have an open door. When you go to work tomorrow, you can give somebody a gospel tract. But will you? Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight, I plead. I pray, Holy Spirit, you've said what needs to be said. And I pray I've been obedient with the scriptures and the application of them. Help us, I plead, during the invitation. Help each and every one of us to understand the importance of this church here. Yes, there's all flavors of all the seven churches. But Lord, I pray that we're more of a Philadelphia church than we are a Laodicea. And if we're an Ephesus church, we'll run back to our first love. and fall deeply in love with Him again. Do what you need to do tonight in the invitation. We thank you for all that you've given us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.